chanting this in the chanting the beat out.
Say again?
Chanting the beat
out. Yeah. Why would you want to chant the beat out? The point is it's Vrinda Devi, and you think she wants to be out in the open?
No, my question is only any level of chanting, all the level.
Any pious benefit you're going to get from the chanting, they can take. The spiritual benefit, that they can take. That's yours. The point is you're looking for a loophole here? The rule is there, it's like this. You think girls like to be out undressed? They like to be dressed. Vrinda's a girl. She likes to be dressed. So therefore, then you make the rules. Those who then won't follow that, then the Rakshasas come and bother them. Right?
We've seen Prabhupada chanting.
It's in the temple in front of the deities, isn't it? Oh, this is just new one. Shabbaparva. Okay.
I think it's supposed to say April.
30th May. Is next month or this month?
I think it's supposed to be.
And so is this being given out to all parties concerned?
Yes.
Huh? Yes, sir.
It seems to be a conundrum here, in the sense, okay, Shudras are Shudras, so they, what can they do anyway? And Vaishyas, they're Vaishyas, if they're not strong, if they're not guided, inspired, they will just tend to profit, profitery. Now, if Brahmanas are passive by nature, neutral, say, they don't take up crusades, or they don't take special initiative, or as you said the other day, when there's no culture, they kind of, okay, that's not my, it's not a time and place for me to instruct. And so Kshatriyas, in one sense, it's like Kshatriyas, where they situate themselves, the name of...
They'll generally start their own project.
So they just...
Like, let's say, you take here, for example. Harikesh was involved with, you know, the whole Mayapur thing. He was a Mayapur GBC. But then at some point, he switched over to exclusively Mayapur project. Why? Because you can't do anything for local management. So you just switch projects.
Yeah, but that's my question. See, if nobody does anything with the existing situation, it could be here, it could be in the
because
Greenland.
The whole point is supposed to establish Brahmins, but that's it means the idea that this should be done should be something that's recognized. Unless the GBC recognizes that this is important, how it's going to go anywhere. GBC can't figure out if the Brahmins are Kshatriyas. It's one of their, you know, regular, you know, every couple of years they have a discussion, are we Brahmins or Kshatriyas? The Prabhupada already very clearly said what they are, they're Brahmins. Right? Because they're advising, they're giving direction, they're seeing to standards, they're not doing the managing. They're the highest managing authority because they set the standards by which managing happens, but they themselves are not managers. If you look at Prabhupada's instructions on it, it's very clear. You know, but the point is then we have to be practical. No, that's how it works. You already have managers in your zone. There's tons of temple presidents out there. They just have to be encouraged. There's lots of devotees who will manage your society. but they need direction, they need vision, they need standards.
My question for...
You know what I'm saying? So if they take that up, then you can start dealing with the rest of it. If you're talking about the overall, because from what I get the idea, the two of you are talking overall in society and in the world. But unless, you know, locally, you just do it yourself. You know, you take it. You know, like Roger Maharishi, he just does it himself. You know, nobody else is going to do it, so he just tries to do something. You know, like Sivaram Maharishi tries to do something. So individuals, they take it up in their own area of influence, and that's all it is. If it's going to happen more broad, then it has to be accepted in a more broad. Point is you have, you know, basically at one of these meetings, you know, you feed lunch to about 90 people, right? You know, Prabhupada mentioned 25 GBCs. There's about 90 there. They, you know, GBCs and ministers and monitors and, you know, high cult.
Whatevers.
Yeah. Bureaucrators and, you know, like that, and facilitators and all that. Now all these people are not just ordinary devotees. They're influential devotees. So if all of those people had the same idea, the same vision, and all that, they went out to their places in the world, something wouldn't happen. It's got to happen.
I agree.
Yeah, so that's the point. It's when that's pulled together, then you can influence like that. Otherwise, right now, the only way to go about it is individuals have to do what they can. That's all. You just have to start a project, do it, keep your head down so that you don't step on anybody's toes, and develop it till it's big enough that people can go, oh, this is nice, and then want to copy it.
But then, within the modern context of ISKCON, especially in India, if you do that, you have to keep your head way down, because...
Well, it is this humility and tolerance is one of the qualities, right? Not respecting
because,
others.
Because, you know, Brahmins by nature should be independent, especially if some management is not proper, they will not have a tendency, especially to put themselves under such a...
Mm-hmm.
But if you do that, those people are in a position of management, since so that, you know, you become a demon.
Out, he preaches, he finds people, he gets them to do managing for him, and then they work something out. You develop your own projects.
But in ISKCON,
technically speaking, no one wants to have anything to do with anyone else's project. Only if it's making lots of money, then everybody has an interest. But if it's not out in the middle of nowhere, who cares?
Well, but it's never in the middle of nowhere when you have zones.
Tetva's farm is in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, but it's in a zone.
Tetva's farm. It's in a zone.
Yeah, but I mean, they see it like that.
The thing is, everyone's looking at power and influence. It's a matter of what you're doing. It's the quality of what you're doing. We're still looking at form. Form is secondary. If everything's nice, you start with form and then move forward. If you don't have that, you start with the essence and then expand from there. You know what I'm saying? How you run your house, you can run it according to Varnashram. Who's going to tell you no? Who's going to tell you you can't deal properly according to the directions of Shastra with your family? Who's going to tell you?
Yes.
You know? And even if they want to tell you, what's their right? You don't have to listen. You know what I'm saying? Well, they're not taking any responsibility for you. They have no authority over you, so you can do what you like.
But isn't the Vedic standard or government standard, you know, we speak like Vilesh Swaraj, and that's
good. It is, but the point is you start from a spark. A spark can burn down a forest. So that's what I'm saying, is many, many sparks, then eventually you get it to do that. You know what I'm saying? So we're saying two things here. One is, what we're saying is from before in the conversation, is the approach that's being taken now doesn't work, because it hasn't worked for the last 20 years that devotees have tried to do. Why? Because they're trying to start with a form that they don't know how to operate. So therefore, there's qualities behind that that are more important. They should be endeavoring for that. Is gaining that, then they'll know how to get as close to the form as possible. You know what I'm saying? because you don't necessarily have an ideal farm. You don't have an ideal thing. You know, you have to use a tractor. You have to use chemicals. So this, it's not ideal. But you start with that. At least you're growing something. You know, you figure out how to make it work. You know, so what is it? Gita Nagari. One guy farmed that, and it was the most successful farm in the state. Right now, if you've got so many people, and it's not even on the map. So, what is he doing? You know? Is that what's being looked at? You know, they're talking about having a big school and a big institution for training in Varnashram. But the point, you train a farmer, you don't train him in the school. You train him out. Just like this. Farmers are farmers. They're practical people. And you want to know farming, and you do your work, they're going to be happy, and they're not going to bother you. Right? You just tell them you're Hare Krishna, you do this and that, they want to talk about it, great. They don't want to talk about it, great. We're just going to talk about farming. What does it take to go and figure out who are the best farmers in America? You know, either in their field or in, you know, something.
Speak to those who are successful.
Then go there, go to their farms, find out what are they doing. Anybody thinks like that? No, we're talking about building the big temple here, but then that money could be used to make a Varnashram college, and that's more important in America. Okay? You learn farming from a farmer. You don't learn it in the school. You know? You can have a couple of classes on economics. Okay, great, but it's how you farm. That guy knows how to farm. You go there. You know? You want to make pots. You go to a guy who makes pots. You want to learn painting. You go to a guy who learns painting. These are arts. So you just go out and learn them from those people.
Yes.
So, what's to stop that? That doesn't cost you hardly anything. But there's no recognition in it. And Vaishyas don't like that. You know what I'm saying? It's just practical. So if he's going to go out and then from that open his own farm, then he's going to do it. But if he's not going to do it on someone else's behalf, then you have to have recognition. Right? Right? After Mangalarti, does a Brahmin need to have everybody know how many books he distributed and how many luxury points and a jai and get a cake? And does he need that? Does a Brahmin need that? No. Who needs that? Right. Some temples just say the Lakshmi points. They don't even bother with the books. So, it's important for them. It inspires them. So if you need to, you do these things. But the point is that's what I'm saying, that the Brahminical culture, you're not going to be able to create a class of, you know, Vaishyas, you know, that are cultured enough that are going to be inspired to do this. And unless the Brahmins are obviously Brahmins, then they're not going to support them either. You know what I'm saying? It's the Vaishyas and Kshatriyas that really like this, you know, very austere stuff. You know, he lives off of air, breathes every 3 days. You know, like that, ooh, what a Brahmin, you know, like that. They're the kind that go for that. You know? They don't look at it as studying and teaching. That's the Brahmin. Most don't look at that, you know. They generally, you know, oh, he's very austere, some very obvious like that. But he studies and teaches, and nobody really cares. You know, I say, oh, here, this is going back. So one thing is, they're saying the approach is wrong because you're going with a form of it which is nice and it would be great, but if it hasn't worked, then we should go to the qualities of it that make it work. Right? Two, if you want to do it on the broad sense, then you have to get the leadership to be agreeable to that. And if that works, great. But if that doesn't work, then, three, then you have to, those individuals who are interested in doing that, then they should do it themselves. If they can somehow know to cooperate, great. But don't try to centralize it. You know? That's what we're saying. you know, some encouragement in that, and you know, sharing of ideas, and then you know, what works for you, take what works for that. But immediately, it's always as soon as it's started, then this has to be a ministry, has to be a this, has to be that, which is great if it works. But if it doesn't, you know, it's like, you know, it's like the, you know, last people that, you know, take up the head of the Varnashram, you know, the ministry, they themselves profess Shudras. They themselves are freaked by Vimana. They'll say, oh, it's just in support of the Brahmins. They're down on Shudras. The Prabhupada said the leaders of the society should study Mana. So then that means if they don't appreciate it, they're not a leader. Not in that field, maybe in their own field. You know, computers and, you know, public image, stuff like that, done great. But not if the ones that are going to establish Varnashram. Because they'll never understand what it is. Brahmin Kshatriyas, Vaishnavas understand what Varnashram is. Shudra support. They may understand, they may not. It doesn't matter. As long as they follow those who do, then they get the full benefit. But you only have Brahmin Kshatriyas, Vaishnavas know what it is, because they all learn that from a Brahmin. So that, what is Brahminical culture? What is, you know, like that? What is the nature? So it's that essence, studying teaching. So for us, teaching is teaching, but also majority of it is preaching. So basically we have it there, but it's not being seen as the main thing. You know, how many temples distribute BTG? You know, how many of them, book distribution is their prominent program of collection? Because it doesn't necessarily maintain big opulent temples that are empty. You know what I'm saying? So it's not preferred. But the point is the Christians took over from being little underground movements. They didn't take over because they had big opulent churches. That only started after, 400 AD, once they became recognized by the state. You know what I'm saying? So we have a standard of opulence that was established by the temple presidents back in the 80s. Prabhupada never said the standard of a temple is 3 altars. How much did he talk that it's nice if you have, but how much did he talk to sell the marbles on the wall to preach, distribute books? Right? So somehow or another in the early 80s, that was the standard. Every temple president done work, they have a project, and it's always like that. So that's great. But it's like this.
But then they capture all the resources. And it kind of imposes a management that's more rajasic, and it's, you know, like big building, big this, and then
it's nice. See, the thing is, it's just like this. The Western mentality, they think big. Everything's big. And unless you're big, you're nobody. So therefore, it engages that. So body, mind, and words are engaged. Prabhupada said, if you don't do something big here in Mayapur, what's the use of your being American? Because Americans have to do something big. Therefore, to engage that, that's nice. But the point is now we're talking about a monstrous building with more deities and devotees in it. You know what I'm saying? So then...
And they fry a lot of people.
Yeah, so the point is doing something big also, because you said, how many temples have you opened? How many devotees have you made? You didn't say, how many deities did you install? Or how many altars do you have? Or how much marble or onyx you have on the floor or walls? If you have that, that's nice. But you have to remember is that there were 3 altars in Los Angeles, and they had onyx altars, but there were 500 devotees there. Not 15. 15 devotees generally meant you had a pictured, you know, a panchatantra picture altar. As Prabhupada said, if you have deities, he wanted a set amount of Brahmins who are worshipping the deities. So that means if you wanted Radha Krishna deities, that meant you had to have 12 Brahmins. Right? And that's for one altar. Right? So then he wanted, I think it was 6 for Gornitai and 8 for Jagannath, or 10 for Jagannath. Right? So now if you have 3 altars, then that's how many? 12, 10, and 6.
Right? 28.
28. And that's there. So if you have 28 Brahmins, how many Brahmins in the community do you have that you can get 28 from?
If it's 1%, it's
and then how much... How many devotees would you have that you have that many second initiated devotees? So that means the 3 altar. That's great. If you have a 3 altar temple, what does that indicate? That you have 3 altars? No, that you have this huge hundreds and hundreds of devotees. So that means it's a very prosperous temple. So that you have 3 altars. Nice. But just that you have 3 altars doesn't mean. One devotee is walking down the street in New York. He's walking by this big, big black Continental. You know Continental?
Yeah.
So he walks by this, and suddenly he's early morning, Joppa walk, right? Nobody's out there. Suddenly the door opens, right? And there's this guy in there, sleeping in there. And hanging on the window is his suit. Right? That guy... All he possesses is that car and that suit. Right? And so at night he dresses up in that suit, drives his car around, picks up some girls, goes out in the town. So they all think he's a big roller. But all he's got is that car and that suit. So that's my point. 3 altars is just like that. Oh, we have a 3 altar temple. No, what about the devotees? Otherwise, why did they all go away? Right? But if you go to each one of those temples that has 5-6 devotees in the temple, how many hundreds are living outside? And that's not one city, that's all of them.
And then all the guys that, drive around their Continentals like that are forming a committee. And calling the shots.
Of course.
And telling the Brahmins what to do.
Yes. That's there.
But that means, and not only...
But the Brahmins have to be able to tell them
what to do. Not only they would live and let live, they would live and not let live.
That's there.
So then it becomes a very difficult...
It becomes difficult, but the Brahmins aren't speaking in a way that's practical. The point is unless it's practical, why will a leader take it seriously? You know what I'm saying? Chandragupta takes Chanakya seriously because Chanakya can do it. He has the knowledge how it's done.
So Brahmanas have to become very expert at
diplomacy. So that's what I'm saying is we have to cultivate Brahmins who are expert. Then naturally leaders are going to want to listen to them. But right now it's like being a Brahmin is like,
doing puja.
Yeah, it means it has no value. Oh, that's for the neophytes. Yeah, okay, but... Management is so, but at least it's for the Prabhupada also said, staying in the, when he said that, the brothers went out and then some stayed back, and so the neophytes they stayed back. So then the temple president, then that's also would be a neophyte position, but it's a lower position than the pujari. If you apply the same logic, you know what I'm saying? So somehow, Al-Pujari, they're just that, that's for the neophytes. Real guys are the preachers, means the guys with the stickers. You know what I'm saying? So, the thing is, in other words, those who, you say all this, so that those who can understand the importance of this, then they try to do this. And just with time, you have more and more Brahmins and more people who appreciate Brahminical culture. Then, by the modern politically correct method of democracy, you take over. Because you're not going to take over by authority. There is no authority. Nobody cares for authority. You understand?
Yes.
Only those who care for authority, then the authority can exercise their influence on them and, you know, put them and do whatever they want with them. You know what I'm saying? Somebody messes up and tells everybody where they can, you know, stick it, then the leaders just sit there. Or if they threaten, then they cower. But if they're submissive, then everybody gets up and pontificates. That's how it works. You submit, then they do. You don't submit, they can't do anything. So where's this authority? It's not there. We give them that because that's the religious principle. You're supposed to give them that. So in the same way is that if that's being given there, that means we can create it ourselves.
So you're saying we are giving that can catch that connection.
Means in other words you're giving them authority. It means the leadership.
And we
means the devotees are giving them authority. Because it's not that they're necessarily acting as leaders and taking the authority. You know what I'm saying? It's a matter of they're in that position, therefore you respect them, which is proper. But that's only half of it. It's supposed to be you are a leader, therefore you're respected. So that combination works really good. Someone who is a leader, therefore he's respectable. And those who respect authority, that combination is very dynamic. But right now it's basically most of the time going on by just people accepting the authority. It's not necessarily that the authority is behaving as such.
And more are rejecting in various matters or like ignoring at least.
Or don't even think about it.
Maharaj, if I could go back to that issue of identity, Kshatriya Brahmana, could it be that, it's a question really, there are different Brahmanas, like there's a Brahmana type like Chanakya who is into politics, and some other Brahmanas are into puja.
But they recognize who they are, they don't try to do something that they're not.
My question is, could it be that some people see some tendency, like some interest, maybe the whatever, economics, administration, and then they think that, oh, because I have that interest, I must be that. That's my main identity.
Yeah, they don't understand that Brahmins can be expert in all of these. Otherwise, how do they teach it? How does a Brahmin teach Kshatriyas and Vaishyas? Right? Unless they know all the fields.
But Brahmana won't be necessarily hands-on.
The difference is, it's like Dronacharya. He's expert in the martial sciences, in warfare, in martial, in the mentality, in everything about it. But he himself doesn't fight. Otherwise, he could have just, on this, you know, how you say, he could have just, how you say,
take
on
over
the spot,
a kingdom.
You know, pulled out his bow, and that would have been history for Drupad and all his people. Single-handedly, he could have destroyed them all. But because he was a Brahmin, he didn't. He went, started a school for Kshatriyas, made, you know, so many disciples, and once they were trained, sent them in. And his doctrine was he wanted Drupad. So that's a Brahmin. So that's why up to that point, no one, he's not dealt with, you know, in as a Kshatriya. But as soon as he steps out on the battlefield and is willing to fight, then you deal, even though he's a Brahmin, you deal with him as any Kshatriya.
But just to explore this, say, it couldn't be that somebody say, okay, he did that, so he did it in a Brahminical way, but there is a lot of kind of Kshatriya mood there. Say, okay, you rejected me as a friend.
Why that's what makes the field. Right? It means the mode of goodness isn't 100% pure. It's always some mix of passion and ignorance. So depending upon the mix, that gets what kind of fields of study they're interested in. Does that make sense? So if there's a little more passion, then you get more of the Kshatriya administrative, those things. A little bit, you know, passion with some ignorance, then you get the Vaishya, you know, areas. Like that. If there's more goodness, then they'll stick more to the Shastras. But even within that, then You know what I'm saying? You know, medicine is more physical, like that. Astrology is less. You know, just straight Shastra is another thing. Then if you get into politics and logic, you know, then those are the, you know, something more of your passion and all that. You know, logicians, even though the Brahmins are considered the mode of passion, in the same category with kings.
What about when Brahmins study arts? Because sometimes Brahmins
so then
also
will,
do
that
like
will
music
be more,
and...
Yeah, so then there will be more that element of the ignorance system. But still, they're Brahmins, because it's predominantly goodness. But if it's like they know all the things, that's just because then they're very, very well situated as a Brahmin, very high grade. Just like the emperor, he knows all the arts, knows everything like that. The smaller kings won't. So someone like Narad Muni, he knows everything. If it isn't a topic he doesn't know, he's not a topic he's not willing to discuss. You know? There's not a topic he's not willing to discuss. Like sometimes you find devotees, they only will talk this, won't talk that. He'll talk anything. So it's like, so that's just higher grade. They know all the things. But the higher grades is they're preachers. They know all these other things, they're like ornaments. Like, you know, the king, he knows music, he knows dance, he knows these things, he knows good cooking. Otherwise, why anybody would do it for him? You know what I'm saying? Otherwise, how do you get the top musicians and everything, you know, playing for the king unless he knows that much music? Maybe he can't play like that, but he knows the music, so he can tell if it's
but
right. But
the one who would be training the musician would be Brahmins? Or is it like also...
No, that means not necessarily. No, it means you learn arts from an artist, like that. But
what
Brahmins
about sacred arts?
Such as that can learn the art from a Brahmin who knows it. You know, if in the school they teach that, then he'll learn that also. It's just like Brahmins who learn arts, they generally learn it from a Brahmin who knows it.
But is there a difference between, I mean, like sacred heart, as opposed to
sacred art,
as opposed to art that's just more like, you know, like handicraft? Like for example, music. It's very refined science. I mean, if you.
But the thing is the Brahmin will only sing for the deity, or he's teaching it as a science. To him, it's a science. It has its art form. Right? But for the Shudras, an occupation. He sings. You pay, he sings.
Oh, that's
Brahmin, you pay, he doesn't sing.
So a Brahmin would do bhajans and kirtans and...
Yeah. In other words, he'll use it for the deity. For you know, in other words, it's connected to Shastra, to the deity. In other words, it's Bhagavad, it's Pancharatrik. Like that. So he'll use it in that way. Or the Shudra will use it, you know, and the Kshatriya's Vaishya is the same, you know, it's a hobby. For them it'll probably be a hobby. You know what I'm saying? The Brahmin it'll be a hobby, or it'll be a service to the deity, or it'll be what he trains people in. For the Kshatriya's and Vaishya's it'll be a hobby. You know, and some you know, how you say, yeah. Some Vaishyas will own open a record label and, you know, make money that way. You know. But you know what I'm saying? So but the Shudra, he's the one that is singing. He's the one that you're paying and he's singing. This is also, you know, within the thing of being able to tell the difference is not very well understood. Oh, if you know music, you're a Shudra. No. Everybody knows music. It's your occupation. Varna is your occupation, not what you know.
One makes a Shudra is that he earns through his art.
That's the whole point. A Brahmin earns through Shastra. That's why you're going to a school. Kshatriya earns through protection. A Vaishya earns through, you know, business, trading. I mean, through trade, banking, farming the cows.
Is it that, you know, usually greatest artists would be like a more like Brahmins, because they
in
can...
In India, all your top musicians are Brahmins or converted Brahmins, generally. All of them.
Because it's a very refined...
Converted to Islam.
Yeah. Well, it's that, you know, either convert or lose your head, you know. some of a lot of them lost their head, but you know, some of them converted.
Yeah, there was three Muslims in the temple yesterday with a beard and a tilak, and
yeah,
it was nice to see.
Yeah, but they're Brahmins. Otherwise, why are they so? You know, the culture, they can move in it so easily. Like that. It means Ravi Shankar's teacher, Auladhin, every Ekadasi he'd go bathe in the Ganga. Muslims don't do that. But he's Muslim. So socially they were Muslim, but in their house they would maintain the Brahminical values. But, you know, over generations that kind of disappears. You know, if they're properly practicing Brahmins, it disappears over generations, let alone if they're, you know, living as Muslims. You know. It's like this group of Jews they just found in America, I think in Arizona or New Mexico, you know, one of those really out of the way places that, you know, hundreds of years ago left, you know, Spain because of the Inquisition and all that, and somehow or another made their way over to America and settled down there. And in secret, they practice all these Jewish rites. And they're so secretive, they just go out and deal in society normally. They didn't even know. You know, I don't even know they knew other Jews existed, you know, whatever. But whatever, then one day somebody found out about them. So basically speaking, as far as actual practical goes, those who understand it in their own way, try to cultivate it as much as they can in their own sphere of influence, and over time when they start getting results from this, then either the results will be recognized and then be appreciated and supported, or with time the results will be so overwhelming that it'll just take over. Does that make sense? That's all I can see. It would be the
sometimes they also try to come and get the results.
That's another thing. But the thing is that's why you don't publicize. That's the problem, is you want to publicize because the preaching, but then it's known and then people will come. So that's one thing. Another thing is if one has an ability to influence leadership, then one can do that. That would also be. So the point is those who appreciate and understand, then, you know, they then try to implement it through whatever is the medium that they have influence of the things. You know? So, all that combination, I think, then with time, we'll start to get results. You know, like if you're running leadership programs, then you can train that can be part of the thing, is having to understand what is a leader, what are the qualities and all that, rather than just what's the tools, the technique. The technique is important, but actually more important is the mentality. If you can train them in that, then the technique will be very easy for them to understand and will be very practical for them. They'll be able to use it very well. But otherwise, the tools may just be that someone's very expert at memorizing. They'll know the things, but they won't actually be successful in applying them, you know, if the scenario is anything different than what you've taught them in the class. You know, because in the class, you can only teach, you can't teach every scenario. You have to give some major ones so that they get an understanding of what's going on. You know, 2 + 2 = 4. You know, you can't give every number combination there is, and then you know, you can give enough that they understand the principle. That's all a teacher can do. A teacher can only give 1/4 of your knowledge. The other quarter has to come from your own practice, from your own experience, and from, you know, experience of others. So that's all you can do. So then you give the best you can in a way that gets through to the audience, in examples that are practical for the audience, but if they don't catch the mood of it, the principles of it, they won't be successful. So if they know what is leadership and all that, they know actually what it is, what it's functioning on, what's the mentalities, what are your options and methods, then these skills will be very, very useful for them. They'll be able to use them better than anybody because they are, you know, managers, administrators, you know, economists, so they can do that. They'll be able to. But to just teach that, then the skill will go on, but still the social fabric will break down because without the character is what holds the society together. Because then when you have common character, then you have common values, so they'll figure out ways of doing it. Like a simple thing. Then we'll talk about big, you know, okay, we don't support, we don't do this and that. I heard about this sometime before. Maybe, when was that? Maybe 10 years or less. That they were talking about how in the village, I mean, not even in the village, no. He was just talking in general. That they had their community, and if a new person came to the community, everybody would give them 1 rupee and 1 brick. That's it. You know, but there's thousands of them. So with the bricks, he builds a house, and with the rupees, he invests in a business and starts a business. And all it took was 1 rupee and 1 brick from everybody. That's it. No one had to invest any more than that. You know, so there wasn't big schemes, big, very expensive, difficult to manage. No, 1 rupee, 1 brick. And, you know, because they were business people, they knew what to do with the money, so they could, you know, they would be successful. And they take the bricks, build a house.
And it's kind of also of a symbolic gesture also by everybody.
It has the social thing to support it, but it's practical. It actually did something. Something. It doesn't mean that now when you're successful, now you don't sell that house and buy something bigger, you know. And there's a go. It works. You know, it's just stuff like that. It works. You know, because actually community doesn't really cost much. If there is community, then everybody takes part a little bit, then it works. You know, that was the point that Arjuna was worried about. Because when all the men go, the thing will break down, and then all those community projects will stop. All those community projects will stop. And then he was worried about that. Because you don't have the leadership, you don't have the men. So basically, it means the point is this. If someone is able to influence and do on a greater scale or an international scale, that's perfect. All we're saying is the methods that are being used now aren't working. That's what we're saying. So it's not that. So we use the examples to cut all those things simply to point out that it's not practical, it's not working. So if we start with the qualities, understand, you know, actual the relationships, the metaphysics of what's going on. If that's understood, then whoever has what ability in that area, they can influence. And there are people who can influence on in big ways. But if not, you can always influence in small ways. But the point is that people are thinking in a certain way, then it does have influence. If people are doing something, it's going nicely, they're happy, others notice it. It is noticed. You know, because everybody wants to be successful, everyone wants to be happy. But so therefore, if that's, they will look. They may not say anything, no one comes forward, but they will look, they will notice. You know, it's like ladies in the temple. You know, you could say, oh, you know, I went to the temple, no one noticed. Everybody noticed what they were wearing. Just, they may say something, they may not. You know what I'm saying? Basically is, does that make sense? So, if you're doing something that's getting results, it is noticed. but it takes a long time before. It's like right now, has officially anybody ever said that, you know, what they're doing in Chaupati is going good, let's investigate this and let's see what we can do about it? Not really. Just individual zones to kind of connect themselves and stuff like that. But it's not seem like that.
One question is, when one does something which is observable and tangible, people do notice. What about ideas? In other words, ideas from Shastra or ideas of application of Shastras. Those generally don't get noticed, right? I mean, there's so much either distraction or just we're not just focused.
Yeah. Because the value's not there, so that's why it has to be. In other words, if it's valued, you talk about it. And with time, if people are convinced it's more being talked about, then devotees just start to notice it. Like that. Because otherwise, it especially won't be noticed from Shastra if devotees don't put a strong, I don't have faith in Shastra. Because Krishna, he reciprocates. Whoever you think he is, that's how he'll come to you.
And since they don't respect Brahmins, they don't know what is Shastra. Yeah. They don't know who knows Shastra, who doesn't know. They'll say, well, I'm devotees for 28 years, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, yeah. And
So you'll get that element where the Shastra's philosophy, devotees see Shastra's philosophy. As philosophy goes, they are convinced, generally. But as culture, as practical, they don't see that culture, economics, you know, leadership, it's all one package. To them, it's all different things, because in the secular education, they're completely different fields of education. They have nothing to do with each other. They go on independently. It means you go to a school, your political wing is completely separate from your economic wing, which is completely separate from, you know, your arts, you know, it's completely separate from your science, and even within science, and there's so many, you know, the physicists today say one thing and the chemists oppose it, and then tomorrow the physicists throw out something, and then the chemists take it up, and, you know, it's like it's there's not
monolithic.
And now it's even so much more. It's like the disciplines are so, you know,
specialized.
Yeah, you know, it's like, you know, what's your specialty? Okay, you know, before we used to joke, it was, you know, tsetse flies, right? Mm-hmm. You know, but now it would be
disease of tsetse
flies of, you know, Western, you know, Kenya, you know, in the summertime.
Their disease.
Next to the river.
Their wings disease.
Yeah, so like that, you know, then it's like, oh, he's a rural authority. Okay. It's like really getting specialized, you know. You know, before it was a BA, a BSc, you know, like that. There weren't many like that, but now there's so many of them, and they got more and more letters. It's really very, very specialized, which is fine, but the problem is that because there's no common foundation that they see, then it doesn't hold together. So devotees themselves, with the same kind of conditioning, you know, it's not that they have a determination, that it's just that's the way they've come. Then also separate all these things off. Okay, this is philosophy, but no, it's a package. Everything is there. If you know how to apply it, the philosophy applies in the culture. One aspect of the culture applies in another. That's how someone who, let's say, is a master in the field, they'll give an example in one scenario, but they could apply it in any scenario because they know the principle on which it's. You're trying to teach a principle through your example, like that. Catch that, then you can apply it everywhere because you can only give so many examples. But the more expert someone is, the more he understands the principles of his field, the more broad he can do it. Therefore, you have this business person who can, you know, just sell cloth. You have some of them, but they have a cloth business, they have machineries, they have computers, they have cars, they have, you know, music, they have like 10, 20 different businesses, and they're all, because, you know, they understand economics. And they understand how to apply it in the music field, in the fashion field, in the gizmo field, and, you know, like that. And so they're able to be successful. They know, they understand the principles of it better. Therefore, they're bigger. is someone who understands it less. They know just how to apply it in cloth, and they're good in cloth. And someone who doesn't understand the principles, then they fail. Like that. So then that's the idea, is the Vedic is get to that essence. That's what you're trying to teach. You settle for someone's, you know, skilled in the field. Then he can work nicely, and he can work under others who understand the principles. But, you know, it's always nice to have an expert in the field. But the world doesn't run by experts. The world runs by masters. So who's master in the field, they're the ones who run it. Then the more experts they have, the more they can get done. Like that. And then those experts then engage people who have knowledge. Actually, generally, the masters engage people who have knowledge, because experts can't relate to them. You know? So the top and the bottom have more connection than the middle.
Top and the bottom.
Yeah. Because you see this, and the
like Prabhupada and the neophytes.
Neophytes, you know. But so the masters and the neophytes have more. The masters and the experts are good because the master's there. But sometimes the expert who can appreciate the mastery then will become one, and one who doesn't will remain an expert. It's just like the people that go to business school, they come out, they go into middle management, they remain in middle management. They never go to the top. They just don't. They don't go down, they don't go up. The people who are on the top are the ones that started on the bottom. Like that. If you check, you know,
the
middle management has all the degrees. The top management may have no degrees at all. Some of them are not even educated. They're dropouts. But who cares? You know, you want to complain that Bill Gates is a high school dropout? Who's going to complain? You know, he's in the top 5 richest people in the world. So you're going to complain? No, you can't. So it doesn't matter. So the top and the bottom have more connection than the middle. The middle is connected to the top. But whether they become top is another thing. You know, you have some people who are naturally in that, have the potential to be masters, and they just go through the system that's there. So they go, they get their degrees, this and that, and then they just move up. But the degree is either to just know some specifics of the field, you know, so that they don't have to figure it out themselves, or, you know, it's just a social prestige, you know. The Marwari says, my son went to Harvard School of Business Management. It's like, what does he need to go there for? He'll learn more sitting at home than he will in that school. So, in other words, the basic principle of at least this tangent is those who have ability, they should just do it. But one should go about trying to understand why does it work. One will be more successful. The master is more successful because he knows why it works. The expert, you know, is able to apply it in so many things, just he's very intelligent. But the test of the intelligence isn't the same as the master. Like that. So whoever is expert in some area, then that should be appreciated, that should be recognized, that should be cultivated. But at the same time, as one should also know one's limit. You know, so in an area that you don't really know, then you have to be very, very careful. So basically that's what kind of goes on, but it could be more formalized. You're saying GBC level, it's basically there, that concept, but it's not across the board. So then you have within it, one is you have the element of, within the Brahminical you have so many fields that it's in. Every field that there is, a Brahma can be expert in it. Then you have the element of, then there's the conditioned nature, you know, and then there's the devotional. So as a devotee, they're automatically Brahmins, but then there is their conditioned nature, which may not be Brahminical. So I would say the combination of those two will make it difficult. But if you understand what you're looking for, then you perform the duties of it, you're accepted as that. You know what I'm saying? You can be a Vaishya by nature, but you're a devotee, and so therefore the top end of the Vaishya nature you're dealing with. So therefore, economics is more interesting to you, and but you are, you know, because of the purity and the determination, therefore it's always in connection with the temple. You know, so you do big, you know, collections, you build temples, you do so many things. It is happening. Your zone is opulent. But you're doing it all for temples and preaching and book distribution and like that. It's just that you've engaged, you know, your conditioned nature on its, like, you know, most pure, most highest realm. And because you're doing it simply for temples and preaching, it is brahminical in that way. Like that. Because Kshatriyas and Vaishyas are expansions out of the taking a portion of the brahminical. So it's not that they're that distant from it. So you can put them back into its source, as long as they expand on the, you know, the sadhana and everything else like that, then it works very, very nicely.
So you're saying recognition, so then you'd be recognized as...
Yes, so then this person, then let us say, they're doing like that, so then they'll be recognized in that way.